Pro-Life to the Max is produced and broadcast by WOMB 89.9 FM Catholic Radio in Bloomington, Indiana.
Ave Maria, welcome to Pro-Life to the Max, a weekly half-hour radio program under the patronage of St. Maximilian Mary Kolbe that is dedicated to keeping you informed on local, state, and national pro-life issues and efforts and inspiring you to get involved. I'm Monica Siefker, your host for the program. So very happy and blessed to be here with you today. Thanks so much for joining me. Last week, we talked about the controversy surrounding the issue of brain death. This week, we're going to tackle another end-of-life issue, and that is the subject of Catholic burial practices. Because there are some novel ideas being introduced about what to do with a human body after death that are directly contrary to the dignity of the body, it's important that we cover this topic. We're going to briefly look at the 2016 Vatican-issued instruction, Ad Resurgendum Cum Christo, to rise with Christ, which helps guide Catholics in carrying out proper and respectful burials. We'll also discuss some of the new methods being ushered in for disposing of human corpses that are being promoted under the guise of being environmentally friendly and as good green alternatives. The Catechism of the Catholic Church says that the bodies of the dead must be treated with respect and charity in faith and hope of the resurrection. The burial of the dead is a corporal work of mercy. It honors the children of God who are temples of the Holy Spirit, states the Catechism. We'll discuss whether or not these new methods live up to this standard. Before we do go any further on this topic, though, let's begin in prayer. Heavenly Father, the beauty and dignity of human life was the crowning of your creation. You further ennobled that life when your Son became one of us in his incarnation. Help us to realize the sacredness of human life and to respect it from the moment of conception until natural death. Give us courage to speak with truth and love and with conviction in defense of life. Help us to extend the gentle hand of mercy and forgiveness to those who do not reverence your gift of life. To all, grant pardon for the times we have failed to be grateful for your precious gift of life or to respect it in others. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. And let's go now to this week's In the News. Two Indiana abortionists who are employed as assistant professors of clinical obstetrics and gynecology for IU School of Medicine have filed a lawsuit against Indiana Attorney General Todd Rokita, claiming that his office is abusing its authority by targeting abortion doctors and their patients. The legal action proceeds from consumer complaints filed by individuals against Dr. Caitlin Bernard between July 8th and 12th, questioning whether she had reported child abuse to the police. Bernard rose to national attention a few months ago when she revealed how she had helped a 10-year-old rape victim from Ohio procure an abortion after Ohio's heartbeat law had gone into effect. Commenting on the lawsuit, former Planned Parenthood Director Abby Johnson stated, "It's odd to me that any physician would attempt to prevent one of their patients from being fully protected by the law. If Dr. Bernard did everything by the book, then she had nothing to worry about. This lawsuit certainly makes one wonder if she has something to hide," Johnson said. And Tuesday's elections were a mixed bag, according to most pro-life leaders. On the positive side, every pro-life governor who had signed an abortion ban was re-elected, and many pro-life candidates who staunchly defended life by pointing out their opponents' extremism on abortion won their races. However, ballot initiatives that made abortion a right in the state's constitution were approved by voters in California, Michigan, and Vermont. Kentucky failed to pass Amendment 2, which stated that no right to abortion can be found in its state constitution. Though ballots continue to be counted, Republicans are ahead in U.S. House seats, and control of the Senate remains very close. Here in Indiana, it was good news, with every pro-life incumbent in the state legislature winning re-election and pro-life candidates capturing every statewide office. The Indiana General Assembly will also see some pro-life freshmen joining its ranks, adding to a strong pro-life Hoosier legislature. Finally, around 22 unborn children were violently killed by abortion this past Thursday at the Bloomington Planned Parenthood. More than half of the women were from out of state and mostly from Kentucky. 40 Days for Life wrapped up last Sunday with at least 310 babies' lives being saved from abortion internationally throughout the campaign. And that's your weekly In the News. Last week, we talked about the ongoing debate over brain death and vital organ transplantation. As a quick follow-up to that program, I wanted to bring up a report that was just recently published on MedPage Today. It describes a disturbing new organ harvesting protocol in which a recently deceased person's heart is restarted while a surgeon induces brain death to be able to remove organs from a warm body. The article is entitled, "No Brain Death, No Problem. New Organ Transplant Protocol Stirs Debate." With little attention or debate, transplant surgeons across the country are experimenting with a kind of partial resurrection, the write-up begins. They're allowing terminal patients to die, then restarting their hearts while clamping off blood flow to their brains. The procedure allows the surgeons to inspect and remove organs from warm bodies with heartbeats. Transplant surgeons and several bioethicists argue that the procedure is appropriate and crucial to boosting the number of organs that are available for transplant. But critics, including other bioethicists and the nation's second largest physician organization, the American College of Physicians, warn that surgeons are trampling the line between life and death, the article states. A critical care physician and transplant pulmonologist from Vanderbilt University is quoted in the article saying, "We're so hungry for organs right now that we are pushing all the limits. We need to press the pause button on this and have some more conversations. The dignity of the human who donates organs should never be sacrificed," he added. Last year in 2021, the American College of Physicians voiced their concerns about this experimental organ transplanting process, saying that it posed profound ethical questions regarding determination of death, respect for patients, and the ethical obligation to do what is best. Now, this new procedure of inducing brain death by cutting off blood flow to the brain in order to harvest organs, I'd have to say, only adds in the minds of many to the questionable moral legitimacy of using the brain death criterion to begin with. There are a number of Catholic doctors and theologians who believe that when that 1968 ad hoc committee at Harvard established brain death as a permissible criterion for death, it paved the way for the acceptance of organs being obtained from still living human beings. And thus, this latest procedure is simply a natural extension of what already has been set in motion. At any rate, since this information just came out, I wanted to be sure to share it with you because it's important for us to keep abreast of such things that are going on and to encourage debate on these life and death issues. And of course, prayers for enlightenment. Well, this being the month that we, in a special way, remember the dead, especially through our prayers, I thought it would be an opportune time to discuss the corporal work of mercy of burying the dead. It's actually a very important act of charity that is rooted in the profound respect and dignity that Christians have for the human body. A body created and redeemed by God and which is meant to be raised up in glory on the last day. In sacred scripture, we read how the pious Israelite Tobit risked his own life by performing acts of mercy for his brethren. "I would give my bread to the hungry and clothing to the naked. If I saw one of my people who had died and been thrown behind the wall of Nineveh, I used to bury him." That from the book of Tobit, chapter 1, verse 17. A few years ago, Father Edward Looney, a priest for the Diocese of Green Bay, Wisconsin, relayed some tragic observations he had made throughout his priesthood on the topic of burying the dead. He said that we Catholics might be good at remembering to pray for the dead and in attending the funeral rites of our relatives and friends, but unfortunately, in our contemporary society, we have forgotten the literal meaning of the phrase, bury the dead. And that's because so many of the dead are not being buried on account of the rise in cremation, Father said. Father Looney mentioned how cremains are often kept in people's homes. In some cases, when one spouse predeceases the other, the cremains are kept until the other passes and then are jointly buried. Some relatives are looking at catalogs in the waiting room at the funeral home and are purchasing jewelry with a portion of cremains in it. Another person I know, Father said, wants to be cremated when she passes and divide the ashes among her children, while another wants to be scattered at sea. Father Looney brings up a really big problem going on here, even among faithful Catholics. So it's important that we look for guidance and teaching from the Church. Now, for most of her history, the Church has pretty much insisted that the bodies of the deceased be interred in the ground in a sacred or hallowed site. But shortly after Paul VI was elected pope, the Holy See softened its stance on the use of incineration cremation for the faithful when they are forced to do so by necessity. Some good reasons for permitting it would be the attempt to stop the spread of disease or a plague, or if the cost of a traditional burial is too great a financial burden on the family. But it has always been understood that in choosing cremation, the body must be treated with the same respect that would be afforded it in a traditional burial, which would include the use of a worthy vessel to contain the ashes, the manner in which they are carried, the care and attention to appropriate placement and transport, and the final disposition. 1983 canon law states that the church earnestly recommends that the pious custom of burying the bodies of the deceased be observed. Nevertheless, the church does not prohibit cremation unless it was chosen for reasons contrary to Christian doctrine. Canon 1180 furthermore stipulates that if a parish has its own cemetery, the deceased members of the faithful must be buried in it. Now, when the practice of incineration cremation became permissible, there was a lot of confusion. So, in 2016, the Vatican issued a directive entitled To Rise with Christ in order to clear up any misunderstandings and to remind Christians that even if one has chosen to be cremated, there is still the obligation for the cremains to be interred in a cemetery or other sacred place. Soon after the release of this document, the Bishop of Paterson, New Jersey, Arthur Saratelli, wrote an informative commentary on it. The bishop's words are worth quoting at length for our education. This new instruction to rise with Christ links our burial practices with our faith, Saratelli begins. It says that the church continues to recommend strongly that the bodies of the deceased be buried in the cemetery or in another sacred place. This practice follows the example of the way in which Jesus himself was buried. It also expresses our belief in the resurrection. The church does not condone attitudes or permit rites that involve erroneous ideas about death, such as considering death as the definitive annihilation of the person, or the moment of fusion with Mother Nature or the universe, or as a stage in the cycle of regeneration, or as the definitive liberation from the prison of the body. Burying the dead in a cemetery respects the dignity of the body, which is an integral part of the human person, and becomes, by baptism, the very temple of the Holy Spirit, Saratelli wrote. The good bishop went on, according to the Vatican instruction to rise with Christ, if Catholics choose cremation, the ashes of the deceased are to be treated with dignity. It is not fitting to keep the ashes of the faithful departed in a home, nor may they be placed in mementos, pieces of jewelry, or other objects. The practice of scattering the ashes of the faithful departed in the air, on land, at sea, or in some other way is to be avoided. It conveys the appearance of pantheism, naturalism, or nihilism. For this reason, it is inconsistent with the Christian faith in the resurrection and therefore unfitting, the bishop said. The ashes of the faithful departed are to be reserved in a cemetery or sacred place. In this way, as one generation succeeds another, the deceased are remembered by others and included in the prayers of the family of faith. According to the new instructions, Saratelli continued, if a Catholic notoriously has requested to be cremated and to have his or her ashes scattered for reasons contrary to the Christian faith, a Christian funeral must be denied to that person. This denial of a Christian funeral is not to be seen as a punishment. It is not a judgment of the state of the soul of that individual. It is merely the logical consequence of the deceased's own choice not to accept his or her death as a sharing in the death and resurrection of Jesus. According to our faith, the relationship of love that binds us together in life continues after death. Our loved ones who die before us remain part of the church. They are joined in the communion of all the faithful of Christ, those who are pilgrims on earth, the dead who are being purified, and the blessed in heaven, all together forming one church. We pray for them. We have masses offered for them so that, purified of any earthly sin, they may be welcomed into the glory of heaven. Like the early Christians who visited the tomb of Jesus, we visit the graves of our beloved dead. Their graves are, for us, a place of prayer for the happy repose of their souls and a sacred place to thank God for the gift of their lives. The empty tomb of Jesus assures us that life is changed, not ended. When the body of our earthly dwelling lies in death, we gain an everlasting dwelling place in heaven. Our Catholic burial practices truly respect our beloved departed, body and soul, in the sure hope of the resurrection, wrote Bishop Saratelli. The Vatican's instruction sets for us a solid foundation for what it means to piously bury the dead. But as is the case for so many other of our beautiful Catholic practices and teachings, this one too has come under attack, driven especially by the advanced technology that we possess. I want to look at two methods that have been introduced that challenge the Catholic teaching on the respectful disposition of the human body: recomposting and alkaline hydrolysis. Now, we've talked a lot about all the abortion legislation that California Governor Gavin Newsom has signed into law. So it won't surprise you to learn that back in September, Newsom also lent his signature to a bill making recomposting an approved method for taking care of human corpses. California joined a growing list of states where this procedure is currently legal: Colorado, Oregon, Vermont, and Washington. According to the LA Times, the process involves storing a dead body in a heated container with biodegradable materials, including wood chips and alfalfa. After about 45 days, the resultant fluid and mass can be used as nutrient-dense soil that can then be returned to families or donated to conservation land. The Southern California Assemblywoman, Christina Garcia, who sponsored the recomposting bill, bragged that every human body that is recomposted would save 1 metric ton of carbon. If all Californians opted for recomposting over cremation, the state would see 2.5 million fewer metric tons of carbon within a decade. That's the equivalent of energy output required to power 225,000 homes for a year, Garcia's office stated. Sadly, body composting is rapidly becoming the disposition of choice for many. A Choice Mutual Insurance Agency survey of 1,500 Americans last summer revealed that 11% of the respondents said that they planned on making use of body composting or recomposting. The Associated Press did a feature article on this subject last year, interviewing the owner of The Natural Funeral, a business in Colorado that has vessels to hold human bodies packed with chips and straw under a controlled environment to allow for the decomposition of the body into what they term a soil that can then be spread into yards or other similar areas. Seth Vittle, the owner, called the process an exciting ecological option and claimed how beautiful it was to have new life in death. Composting itself is a very living function, and it's performed by living organisms. There are billions of microbial living things in our digestive tracts and just contained in our body. And when our one life ceases, the life of those microbes does not cease, he said. Vittle described the process that is used by saying that the vessel needed to reach 131 degrees Fahrenheit for 72 continuous hours. In 6 months, the body, wood chips, and straw are transformed into enough soil to fill the bed of a pickup truck, he said, of which family members take and place wherever they see fit. Colorado law, however, forbids selling it and using it commercially to grow food for human consumption. Yeah, but what about home gardens? It accomplishes the conversion of the body back into a very beneficial substance, soil, earth, Vittle said. The Natural Funeral charges close to $8,000 for body composting, but Vittle noted how a traditional burial runs north of $10,000. The AP article also quoted a young man who was already interested in signing up for the process because of its naturalness. They're going to control the humidity. They're going to control the soil amendments, and hopefully some worms and some mushrooms find a good home in me for a few months, the young man stated. And you know, at the other end of it, I'll just be a few bags of dirt. The young man also told the AP that his concern for the environment was playing a large part in his decision, since flame cremation burns fossil fuels that can contribute to climate change and also releases toxic mercury-laden fumes into the atmosphere. And traditional burial takes up space in a cemetery that will use additional resources to keep the plot constantly watered and mowed, he said. Well, as we hear all of this heartbreaking commentary and see the basic lack of knowledge of the sacredness of the human body by so many, it becomes quite apparent that we, the church, have failed to evangelize and bring the good news of the gospel to souls. So many, including this young man and the owner of the natural funeral, have probably never heard how they are made in the image and likeness of God, that their bodies have great dignity, and that it was made destined for resurrection. Instead, they have been taught erroneous ideas about death, that it is the definitive annihilation of the person, or the moment of fusion with Mother Nature or the universe, or as a stage in the cycle of regeneration. They have no concept that man is qualitatively distinct from the rest of creation, being, as Vatican II put it, the only creature God wanted for himself. Recomposting flies in the face of this sublime and beautiful truth. In an article entitled "The Grave Evil of Recomposting," theologian John Grondelsky writes that this process reduces man to soil, that it in fact concludes that man's dead body has no inherent value. It's as if those who support the method are saying of the human body, this inherently valueless biological mass can further negatively affect the environment by taking up soil space through burial or contributing a further post-mortem carbon footprint through incineration cremation. In the minds of those who support recomposting, the one useful value that can be extracted from this rotting mass is to repurpose it as nutrient-dense soil through technological processing, Grondelsky says. Apart from stripping the human body of meaning, recomposting also drives another nail in the coffin of our Judeo-Christian Genesis heritage, Grondelsky goes on to state. A heritage that is already under assault from contraception, abortion, euthanasia, and transgenderism. Christians should find recomposting objectionable because it turns the sacramental of the Christian body, which had been a temple of the Holy Spirit that was incorporated into Christ's death through baptism, signed with his Holy Spirit in confirmation, and which ate the body and blood of Jesus Christ, into a product, a thing, Grondelsky writes. Right now, recomposting is just another choice that consumers have for what to do with their deceased body when the time comes. But the former associate dean at Seton Hall also wonders when it might one day become compulsory for people to be composted. What if a climate catastrophe was declared and the state required it? Grondelsky queries. Such ideas, sadly, are not far-fetched. Another method that is likewise gaining traction for the disposition of human remains is water cremation or aquamation. Here, a process called alkaline hydrolysis makes use of water, lye, heat, and pressure to break down the body and dispose of it, normally in the sewer system. Now, this technology has actually been around since the late 19th century and has been used for turning animal carcasses into fertilizer and for hydrolyzing large amounts of animal waste. But more recently, alkaline hydrolysis is being used for human funerary purposes, with one major provider located right here in the Hoosier State, in Danville, where a company called BioResponse Solutions resides. Their website boasts that they are innovators, and the descriptions they give for the process, to me, sound like they are trying to cover up, using kind and agreeable words, what is in reality a harsh and unpleasant treatment of the human body. For example, it says, aquamation funeral and aftercare is a gentle, eco-friendly alternative to flame cremation and burial. The process uses alkaline hydrolysis to gently return a body back to Mother Nature. The option is available to both our human and pet loved ones, the site reads. The company also boasts that aquamation has an over 90% energy savings rate when compared to incineration cremation. Their There is no burning of fossil fuels and no direct emissions of harmful greenhouse gases or mercury, they say. Alkaline hydrolysis uses a tube-shaped vat to dissolve the body. The machine is filled with around 100 gallons of water, along with lye, a potent chemical used to dissolve the flesh away from the bones. The water is heated to anywhere from 200 to 300 degrees Fahrenheit, and the chamber is subjected to pressure to speed the process. Decomposition takes anywhere from 5 to 14 hours. The bones remain behind and are then pulverized and returned to the family, while all the body tissues, which are now a slurry liquid, are disposed of in a sewer or wastewater treatment system. According to BioResponse Solutions, this process destroys pathogens and toxins in the body, and the liquid waste is clean and free of any DNA. At least 20 states have approved alkaline hydrolysis, but opposition by the Catholic Church has kept it from being approved by even more. Here in Indiana, home to BioResponse Solutions, alkaline hydrolysis so far has been successfully fought as a legal disposition method because the majority of lawmakers see it as inhumane. Because the human person is made in the image and likeness of God, the fact that the deceased's remains are treated as waste in this process is very problematic, and thanks be to God that a majority of our Indiana lawmakers recognize this. Fortunately, the Catholic Church has been leading the charge against recomposting and alkaline hydrolysis. The Colorado Catholic Conference has said that these processes are in opposition to the Church's teaching that the human body is sacred and the dignity of the human person is the foundation of a moral society. The Washington State Catholic Conference said that disposing human remains in such manner as these two methods use fails to show enough respect for the body of the deceased. And in a statement relaying that composting human remains is inappropriate, the New York State Catholic Conference said, while not everyone shares the same beliefs with regard to the reverent and respectful treatment of human remains, we believe that there are a great many New Yorkers who would be uncomfortable at best with a proposed composting fertilizing method, which is more appropriate for vegetable trimmings and eggshells than for human bodies. Our poor world is struggling mightily with being able to see the inherent worth and dignity that the human body enjoys because it is made in the image and likeness of God. And that's because we are living in a culture of death, where the body is basically reduced to a commodity, not only in life, but now also in death. As John Grondelsky said, to bury the dead is a corporal work of mercy, but burial is not just a culturally conditioned custom. How we treat a human body says something about our humanity. This topic is one more thing to add to our prayers and to our apostolic works of helping to instruct the ignorant. There are many Catholics who have never heard what the Church teaches on the respectful disposition of the human body, and we need to do our part to help change that. Thanks so much for joining me. Until next time, let us heed the warning of St. Maximilian Kolbe that the most deadly poison of our time is indifference. Let's pray for one another that we may be consumed with a desire to save lives and souls, to give the greatest possible honor and glory to God. Ave Maria.
Thank you for listening to Pro-Life to the Max, a production of WOMB Catholic Radio. To learn more about this program and how you can help us to continue to produce and broadcast this content, visit us online at WOMBradio.com.